Good morning and happy Sabbath. Can you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be able to gather here this morning and to be able to study your word, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful for each person that is here this morning, and we ask that you'll be with those in our church family that were not able to be here for one reason or another, Lord. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start out with a question for you today. It's a question for those of you that have discovered that life is filled with demands and has little time and too many difficult people. Just in that moment when you're feeling overwhelmed and overfilled, my question is for you, got patience? There is a story of a young school teacher in Texas. She taught kindergarten students. And one of her young students approached her one day and said, "Mrs. Jones, would you help me put on these cowboy boots?" "Well, I don't know if you've had cowboy boots on or taken them off before, but they aren't very easy to get on and off, especially when you're a small child." So she said, "Okay." And between holding on to those boots and him pushing and shoving and grunting and groaning, they finally got the first one on. She picked up the second one, and once again, they repeated the process. By the time she got that second boot on that little boy, she was almost perspiring. She stood up, and he stood up, and he looked down and said, "Mrs. Jones, my boots are on the wrong feet." So down she went again, lips drawn tight, and began to pull and to pull, and began to realize these are almost as hard to get off as they were to put on. But pulling on the heel and him pulling on his leg, off came the first one, and then finally the second one followed. They then repeated the process, pushing, pulling, groaning, and finally they were again on, and she stood up, and she looked down at him, and he looked down at his boots and said, "Teacher, these are not my boots." Her eyes squinted. She didn't say anything, but her eyes said, "Why didn't you tell me?" And down she went again. They come off faster this time. She was yanking and pulling, and she finally got them off. She sat them down, stood up, and looked at him and said, "Then whose boots are they?" He said, "They are my brother's. My mother made me wear them." And down she went again, grabbed his foot and grabbed that boot, and then she got them on all right. She got them on much more quickly than she had before. She stood up and glared at him. She didn't speak a word, but her glare said, "Don't you dare say anything." And he didn't. She got his little coat on him, got his cap on him, and said to him, "Where are your mittens?" And he said, "I put them in the toes of my boots." Wouldn't you just love to be standing there and to look at Mrs. Jones and with a smile of Christian loving charity and say in the most Christian sort of way, "Got patience?" But if you do, let me warn you, you better be ready to duck and cover and roll, because life is sometimes that way. Consider what is written by a man named Michael Hodgen, who writes, after spending 3 hours enduring the long lines, unfriendly clerks, insane regulations at the Department of Motor Vehicles, I stopped on my way home at the toy store to pick up a gift for my son. For my selection, I bought a baseball bat and took it to the cash register. "Cash or credit?" the clerk asked. "Cash," I snapped. Then, feeling bad, I apologized for my rudeness and explained I'd just spent the whole afternoon at the DMV. She looked and smiled sweetly and said, "Shall I wrap the bat, or are you going back there?" Got patience? What about in your life or world? Here in Oregon, of all places, there are things that try our patience. Maybe nothing more so than traffic. You may not have had the privilege of driving on I-5 on Sunday, the weekend after the 4th of July. Chantel and I were on our way to Portland for an eye doctor appointment that I had early that next morning. Everyone was in a hurry, but there was so much traffic that you couldn't hurry. Traffic was flowing along fairly smoothly, and then all of a sudden you'd come upon a semi that was trying to pass another semi that was doing about 50 to 55 miles an hour and didn't have the power to pass the other truck. Or you'd see a car that would change lanes 3 or 4 times just to get one car length ahead and almost causing wrecks. I'm sure you all have dealt with those type of people. So you just sit behind the wheel and you're fuming. Tries your patience, and you take a few deep breaths. Some people in traffic have extreme road rage, resulting in no patience. This last week on 2020 was a video of an incident that occurred in North Carolina. A man named Bradley Turner was driving his wife and daughter when he says a pickup truck tried to cut him off, tried to run him off the road. So he followed that truck for 40 minutes until he got to their house. They stopped, and he went straight up to the truck and opened the door and punched the young man that was driving the truck in the face, and the two boys bailed out of the truck and just started beating the tar out of him. They ended up breaking his nose and knocking him down to the ground. And a few minutes later, his wife gets out of the truck and brings a gun to him. So he points the gun at him and starts firing the gun, and the gun never went off, and then all of a sudden it did go off. He didn't hit any one of the boys. And at that point, he jumps back in his truck, drives off, and they come back sometime later, and he just starts unloading his gun on these two young boys' trucks. At that time, they called the police, and a couple were arrested, and now they're facing charges for assault. But this goes to show you what road rage will do to people and the fact that they have no patience. As life pulls and pries and pushes you in different directions, as demands fill up your time, do you have patience? I have to admit that I really struggle in the patience department. I told Mark and Cheryl on our way to Africa that I'd been praying to receive more patience. And once we arrived there in Africa, Mark and I were assigned the task of drilling into the concrete to install the steel plates that the post attached to for the buildings for the one-day schools. And this meant that you had to drill the concrete, and it has this big type of stone in it, and I didn't know what it was, and I was talking to Mark about it, and he said it's a type of quartz. But you can take a bit and try to drill into that, and you don't get anywhere. The people there in Africa, when they mix concrete, this is what they put in their concrete instead of gravel, because they crush all their stone there for their concrete by hand. They put the stones between their feet and just take a sledgehammer and beat on it. That's as small as they can get it to be, so the concrete slab, even though it's smooth, is just full of this kind of stone. So I was given a lesson on patience that week that we were there. We should have drilled like 650 holes, and by the time we were done, we counted, and we ended up having to drill over 1,000, because when you drill, you'd have to turn around and re-drill the plate, move your hole, and try to get around the rock. So the Lord gave me a class in patience 101. I'm going to read some definitions to you. For the definition of virtue is a positive trait or quality deemed to be morally good. The definition of patience is waiting without complaint, the quality of being patient, as the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, or irritation. Wisdom is a deep understanding and realization of people, things, events, or situations, resulting in the ability to apply perceptions, judgments, and actions. If we are struggling with patience, what do we do about it? Well, I'm going to take us back to Scripture to see if there's something we can find in Scripture that will give us some kind of idea of what we do when the answer to the question, "Got patience?" is no, I don't have patience. What can we do? Now, I realize when I began to study for issues on patience, I realized there are a lot of places we could turn. For example, we could go to Ecclesiastes 7. There's something like this. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, I think what the writer of the ecclesiastical proverb had in mind are a lot of people brag about what they can do, and a lot of people filled with themselves, but just wait. Wait until the project is over, and then you see the person who is having the patience to carry it through. So we can learn something from that kind of saying, or we could go over to Galatians 5. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, we find Paul's words, his wonderful words about the fruit of the Spirit. You remember the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and all the others? There are 9 virtues in total. Right there among them is the virtue called patience. We could spend some profitable time in Galatians 5. Before we left Galatians 5, we would have realized the fruit of the Spirit is like the fruit on a tree. If the tree is healthy, it grows fruit. But we'd also notice that that fruit doesn't grow immediately or quickly. It takes time. Or we could even go to Matthew 11, to one of my favorite passages in the scriptures. We could listen to Jesus sit at his feet as he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, lean on me, for I am meek and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls." Meek and humble in heart, if we followed in his footsteps through Matthew. In fact, through all the Gospels, no doubt we would walk away with a treasure trove of knowledge and experience in the virtue called patience. Or we could even go to Colossians 3, that passage where Paul is talking to the church. He's saying, "You're all friends and followers of Jesus, but now you're to live as a body. You're going to come together as a group, and in order to do that, you're going to need some things." Then he starts talking about things like gentleness, kindness, and love. And right toward the end of the list, he says, "And you are going to need patience." In fact, the way he places it in the list there, it almost seems like it summarizes the one that went before. This is a critical virtue, patience. So we could go to a variety of passages, but I'm going to ask you, would you take your Bibles and open them to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 19. We're going to go back to wisdom literature. It's not surprising because of the wisdom lingering over this proverb. Let's see what it has to say, and if you thought it almost seems to you that it is more about wisdom than patience, you may be right. It strikes me that there are a number of implications in this proverb about wisdom. Maybe the first one is to notice that it has something to do with time. A person's wisdom yields patience. Other verses say a person's wisdom makes them patient. It implies there is some kind of product that comes out, but it must take some time. It may not be instantaneous. In other words, I think what the writer of Proverbs is saying is the wise person realizes that good things take time, so they learn to wait. In 1997, 16 years ago, marked the 100th birthday of Jell-O, that shaky, sugary dessert your kids love. You probably didn't even celebrate it, did you? The fact was that back in 1897, there was a man named Pearl Waite. He was a bit of an entrepreneur. He would mix up certain concoctions and go sell them door to door, kind of a snake oil salesman. But he had a legitimate job as well. He was always interested in this kind of thing and always had an eye in making some money and coming up with something new. Thus it was that one day he took some fruit flavoring and gelatin and mixed these things together and come up with this concoction that his wife ultimately called Jell-O. "I've got some Jell-O here," he said. "I'm going to go out and sell it." But things didn't go so well. He tried it for a while. He tried to make sure he had patent rights and all those kind of things. Trying to sell it, but nothing much was happening. He didn't have much patience. He was approached by an acquaintance of his, Orator Woodward. Woodward came up and said, "I'll pay you $450 and you give me the rights to Jell-O." "Sold," said Pearl Waite, "it's all yours." Well, Orator Woodward was also a bit of a salesman, but he had some patience. And he had some ideas about marketing. It was just a mere 8 years for Woodward to turn his $450 investment into a million-dollar business. In fact, I read that this very day, over 1 million boxes of Jell-O will be sold. And you know what? Pearl Waite's descendants got absolutely nothing. Zero. Zero part of the profit. None of it. And why? Because Waite just couldn't wait. So the proverb says, wise people realize that good things take time. They learn to wait. It's much like the idea that emerges from the passage that is well known in Adventism. In Revelation chapter 14, it's a passage that comes just as the echoes are dying away from three angels who have flown in midair with a message to proclaim. It is just as the message dies away that there comes this passage. Here is the patience of the saints. Here they keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Here is the patience of the saints. What does that mean? Well, if you look at the newer version, you will get more of an accurate rendering of the word from the Greek. It will say the patient endurance of the saints. In other words, they had learned to wait on this event called the coming of Christ. They had learned that it takes patience and endurance. It's kind of like the proverb, wise people know that good things take time, so they learn to wait. But there is more to the proverb. Not only does it say a wise person's wisdom yields patience, it also says that it is a glory to overlook an offense. Now I'm struck by an idea of the second part of that proverb. Struck by it because it implies there may be a certain arrangement of things in terms of their importance. For most of us, if something that comes our way offends us or hurts us, that becomes the most important thing for us to deal with, and we want to address it at that moment in time. We want to strike back and even the score. But the wise man says, wait a minute. Please understand, if you read Proverbs, there is no question about the fact that there are times that issues need to be addressed. The confrontation needs to occur, but then it seems to be saying, be careful. Not all issues are of the same value. Not all issues bear the same weight. So don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. I wish I had a dollar for every time that I have heard Chantel say that to me concerning our children, and to let the small stuff go. It's not that easy, is it? But the writer of Proverbs says that a wise person will be able to determine the difference between something that requires confrontation, that needs to be addressed, and something which you can just say, I will overlook that offense. I don't know where I ran across it. It has been some years ago, but I ran across the idea of asking a question when getting into those difficult situations. I wish I'd be able to do this, but I wouldn't be truthful if I said it worked all the time, but it has helped. It's a simple question. This issue, which I am concerned about right now, how much will it matter in 5 years when that car that cut me off in traffic and had managed to get the prime spot at the stoplight and I can feel the heat rising, how much will that offense matter in 5 years? When your neighbor's dog won't stop barking at night and you don't get any rest, how much will that matter in 5 years or even a year as far as that goes? I know we can all relate to this. When your children don't respond in exactly the way you thought you had taught them to respond, how much will that matter? Make no mistake about it, there are those issues that will and do matter, and those you will address, but the writer of Proverbs is saying not all issues are of equal weight or value, so don't sweat the small stuff, rather let the small stuff go. Now I know what you might be saying right about now. You might be saying, Larry, I thought this sermon was on patience. So far, all you're talking about is wisdom. I came here because you're going to talk about patience this morning, and I'd like to talk about patience now. Well, what are you waiting on? Come on. Well, I understand, but that's what the proverb says. A person's wisdom yields patience. May take time, so learn to wait. It is an honor to overlook an offense. And not all issues are of equal weight or value, so don't sweat the small stuff. But there is one third reality, a third piece that in that word grows out of that parable. It is in the second phase of the proverb, glory. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. We use that word a lot in church circles, glory. A lot of times I'm not sure if we even know what it means. In this proverb, however, we can know what it means because the word glory refers to something beautiful. It might refer to an adornment, something that is aesthetically pleasing. It's beautiful. So when the writer of Proverbs says that it is to one's glory to overlook an offense, that writer says when you overlook an offense, when there is something that happens to you that doesn't rise to the level of a response and you choose to overlook that, that, says the writer, is beautiful. Again, you are saying, Larry, that's fine. Maybe wisdom tells you that good things take time, so learn away. Maybe wisdom even says that to overlook an offense is a thing of beauty, but I want to know about patience. That's what I don't have enough of. So what does the proverb say about patience? The writer of Proverbs simply says, a person's wisdom yields patience. Keep in mind that Paul listed patience as a fruit of the Spirit. This tells us that we are incapable of being patient with some people on our own. We just don't have the strength or the inner willpower to deal with them, and we have to rely on God's own presence, working in us and through us to respond to them. We tend to respond to abrasive people with our flesh and not our spirit. When you find yourself getting irritated or getting angry or upset with someone else, when you find your patience is growing thin, the answer is to detach yourself from the situation, to shift your focus off of yourself and what this person is doing to you, and to shift it back to God. When you find yourself getting annoyed and impatient with another person, take a breath and ask God to claim your soul and your spirit. Ask Him to give you His patience to deal with this situation, or if nothing else, to make a way of escape so that you can avoid sinning in your actions or behavior. Ask God to help you respond in a more positive way. Ask God to help you reflect His nature and His character. I'm so thankful that we have a Heavenly Father that's so patient with us, and that's always forgiving and loving us, even when we don't deserve it. Bow your heads with me for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank You and praise You for this gift You've given us and the fruit of the Spirit of patience, Lord. Please continue to work in our lives, Father, and I pray that we will turn everything over to You and surrender it all to You, Lord, and by Your Holy Spirit working in and through us, that we'll have the patience to be able to deal with situations that come our way. And Father, we want to pray that we will always be doing everything that would be pleasing and according to Your will, Lord, and always trying to win souls for You. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.